WTLC AM Indianapolis.
Indy's choice for inspiration and praise.
AM 1310, The Light.
All right, it is Thursday, August the 13th, 2015. Time again for Afton News with Amos, the talk show of record of our African-American community. I'm Amos Brown. Grocery, food deserts, and stuff. Even before the closing of the Double H stores a few weeks ago, there have been people calling up, where's a black grocery store? How come we don't have a black grocery store? There's Latino grocery stores. How come there's not a black grocery store? And so one of the things that has happened on the Near East side of the city, on East 10th Street, just east of Rural, is somebody opened up a grocery store. A neighborhood grocery store. You go by it, and it doesn't look like a Marsh. It doesn't look like a Kroger. It doesn't look like a Save-A-Lot. It doesn't look like an Aldi's. It looks like a neighborhood grocery store from back in the day. Walked in there. First of all, the floors were clean. I'm going to tell you, I mean, seriously clean. We could have had lunch on the floor. That's how clean the store was. Bright light. I could see myself in it. And it's what is called a food co-op. And since it's on the Near East side, they named it after a little winding creek river thingamajig that goes in the Near East side near the tech campus called Pogue's Run. It is called the Pogue's Run Grocery Store. It's a different kind of grocery store, but it could be one of the options available in these areas in the city, particularly in Center Township, that don't have grocery stores. It's got meat. It's got fresh produce. It's got all kind of stuff. Nate Roberts is one of the people behind the co-op with Pogue's Run Grocery. And Alan Walker is one of the managers. And I kind of freaked him out because I kind of snuck in the store this morning so I could kind of see what it looked like. And he kind of walked up. He was on the phone. He kind of gives me this look. And he gave me this look again. Then he gave me this look like, I think I know you. And I looked at him with a look like, maybe you do. I'll see you later. But anyway, Alan Walker, Nate Roberts, guys, welcome. Glad to have you.
Thank you.
Come on, put
on
the mic. We want everybody to hear you. Nate, how would you define Pogue's Run Grocery Store?
Well, we're a community-owned grocery store. Mm-hmm. We're owned by a little over 1,000 member households that have put up equity money into this idea to have a grocery store here on the east side.
So there were 1,000 families that put their money down on the barrelhead with no guarantee they'd ever see it again to do this.
Yeah, I mean, there was a little bit, you know, we started with about 365, uh-huh. And that was at opening.
Okay.
So yeah, we've grown to 1,000 in the 4.5 years.
How did this all come about?
The Near East Side with Nesco was working on a quality of life plan,
right.
Almost in a way that there were a group of people on the Near East Side who were talking about a food cooperative,
mm-hmm.
and trying to start a food cooperative here in Indianapolis. It was kind of, you know, at the beginning, the food co-op didn't really know where it was going to be.
Right.
And it came down when we saw what the Nesco quality of life plan over on the east side was.
They wanted
and
more grocery stores.
They wanted there. More. They've lost a lot of grocery stores, and it's an old neighborhood, and a lot of revitalization is trying to happen in that neighborhood. So we're right down from the Bonner Center and some other east side places.
Right.
And when the Super Bowl happened, there happened to have some funding available,
mm-hmm.
and that's what kind of steamrolled the opening.
Listeners may not be familiar with what a food co-op is. What is it?
So it's a basically we sell memberships, but
okay.
Memberships is synonymous with ownership. They're the same thing.
Okay.
It's like stock, but just not publicly traded in
okay.
that way. So it's $150
mm-hmm.
for a member household membership,
mm-hmm.
and that is for life. So there's no annual fees. There's no anything. It's you just exchange that for discounts and benefits.
All right. So if you're a member, what do you get? Do you get the lemonade for like 50 cents or something?
No. There's a first Saturday every month is 10% off to all members.
Okay.
And then there's some 5% off discount days as well as some item discounts that we do for members only.
But it's not like a Costco. Where anybody that walks in off the street can purchase from the store. They don't have to be a member.
Exactly. Yeah, we're a co-op, not a club.
Okay.
We are open to the public, you know, 7 days a week.
You all specialize. You know, I didn't see a lot of name brands. Was that a conscious decision by you guys? Or did I not see all? Was this not brand day day?
No, I guess it goes down to our value systems that local first. Mm-hmm. So you know there are certain brand names that are local that you would see like Red Gold.
Okay.
So
the stuff that's there, you're trying to make it Indiana or Indianapolis type product.
Yeah. So we have use Hearst beans. You know, and I go down south of Lucas Oil and pick up beans from Hearst beans.
Okay.
And things like that, as well as supporting other value added local products.
Alan Walker, you're one of the managers.
Yes,
which is why you were there, you know, kind of checking me out.
Yes, I am.
How does that? At one point, as I was walking around, and actually when I left and saw some of the people, you know, in the neighborhood walking around, I'm going, okay, wait a minute, are these people in the neighborhood going to come in this store, or are they going to go to the convenience store and buy stuff and just ignore Pogue's Run? That's a very diverse neighborhood that you're in, of all races, creeds, and colors. What kind of customers you got?
Well,
is it elite people or is it street people or all of the above?
Well, you said it right there, all of the above. We have people who come to the store who generally shop these types of stores.
Right.
However, we get a lot of support from the neighborhood.
Mm-hmm.
As stated earlier, we try to represent and enhance the community. So we do care about those who aren't elite.
Right.
We try to cater to them as much as we can. We try to inform them on the benefits of eating healthy.
Right.
We try to get them the best products as well. And we're very welcoming to everyone who shops the store, and especially the community and those others who shop at other stores similar to ours.
You guys opened when?
It was in late December of 2010.
Okay, so you all have almost 5 years.
Almost, it's coming up on.
What has worked? What did you have to modify and change over those 5 years?
It's been a constant growing. So I think the change is not necessarily what we changed doing.
Right.
Is that we grew using what we were good at,
mm-hmm.
and that's what is. The deli has been probably the saving grace of the Go-op, that we have a very, very strong deli business.
I was going to ask, where does meat fit in? Because a lot of times people have been, as they've talked about food deserts, they've said, you know, the neighborhood gardens, grow your own, and buy stuff from, have the farmer's market. And I said, well, that's all well and good. That takes care of produce that doesn't mm-hmm. deal with meat. Where does meat fit in, or is that just the deli?
No, meat definitely fits in. I think all the categories of the store work very, symbiotically.
Right.
And it's about creating a full shopping experience for mm-hmm. anybody who would want to use us as their sole place. You can get everything you would want. We do have some things that are, make us a little bit more expensive, especially in the meat, because we do stick to our value system.
Right.
You know, we have no hormones, no antibiotics. We try to keep, GMO out of our meat selection as much as possible.
Right.
But at that, you kind of have to, deal with those kind of things when you buy it. Now, it also tastes a lot better. It's mm-hmm. a lot fresher. It's not mm-hmm. packed in salt.
Right.
It's a much better product. But there is there are a lot of price differences between the qualities of food. And we're talking about qualities of food.
239-1310. 239-1310 is afternoon's name. We're talking with the people from the Pogue's Run Grocery. It's a grocery co-op. This could be an option in terms of providing grocery services in neighborhoods that don't have grocery services. You all are organized as a nonprofit.
No.
We're
a C Corp, but we are a Indiana State Mutual Benefit non-for-profit.
Oh, Lord. Wait a minute. What does that mean in English?
Basically, we're like a credit union for food.
Okay.
If that makes sense.
Does that help knowing that the grocery business in this area is hyper-competitive with the big boys just beating each other up for minuscule profits?
Mm-hmm.
The fact that you're organized the way that is, does that allow you not to worry about profit as much, or do you have to worry about it?
Well, we have to worry about sustainability.
Okay.
So the word profit is, what's above that. At this point, it would be all go right back to be reinvested into it to grow it.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, that's the kind of the beauty of a co-op. The profit money can't really go anywhere through, democratic oversight of the co-op
mm-hmm.
with a board of directors.
Right.
And so it runs like a non-for-profit very much, but it isn't. It is very much a C corp when it comes down to it.
Do you have to worry about pricing and worry about people in the neighborhood who have the ability to go to a Kroger or a Walmart or a Meijer or an Aldi where some of the prices would be cheaper because they're buying at volume and you all are not necessarily buying at that, or the advantage that you're sticking with Hoosier owned, locally owned products give you a way to compete in terms of value versus price?
So I think that there are certain products that we use and make different kinds of tiers of products. Mm-hmm. So if Divinity and I are talking about cheese, we have inexpensive cheese or inexpensive bread. Mm-hmm. It's all there, but it's just mixed up between it. Okay. And also if you look at how our bulk section is set up and how you can
utilize that.
That
was something
in
the back of the store when I first walked in. I thought it was the candy section because it reminded me of going in a store and, have the little bag and you open it up and you get, juju beans or something. Mm-hmm. But that was not candy. That was like staples.
Yeah. So, at Pogues, you can afford to buy oatmeal cheaper than you can buy Quaker Oats.
Because you're buying oatmeal like you're buying candy, and you open it up and you measure it in mm-hmm. your thing, and you got the oatmeal.
Yeah.
And also we have a large section of dry items and different herbs and spices where you can go into a store and buy a full container, whereas you can come in our store, get it fresh, and also buy the exact quantity that you need and save significantly.
So if you're sitting there and you got the recipe and the recipe says a teaspoonful, so you can get like 5 or 6 teaspoonfuls and be done with it and not sit there with that nutmeg in your house for 5 years because you bought it 5 years ago for a cake and you've not used it since.
That's right. And think about the money you save by doing that.
Yeah, because nutmeg is high. Let me go to Brad at 239-1310. Hi there.
Hey, how you doing, Amos?
I'm fine.
And to your guest, I have a two-part question, if I may ask.
Okay.
My first part of my question is, I know you have some products that will probably be on the shelf a little bit longer, close to the sales date, and I know you guys get rid of it. Do you reduce the price or give it to a food pantry for others to have? And my second part of my question is, how is it that you're able to provide discounts here? You said it's only open to members where they got certain days for discounts.
No.
We can't afford that $150 membership. How can you offer discounts for others that like to come to your store?
All right, let me go back to the second question first. The discounts are for the members who've invested in the store, but anybody can come in and shop. Is that did I understand that right, Nate?
Yeah, that's correct.
Okay.
I think I probably meant, what I meant was like for the manufacturers, for the name brands, their coupons come in the daily paper where a person can use at the average store. You guys carry only local brand mainly. So if a person that doesn't have a membership wants to come and shop at your store, with those coupons, do you carry some of those brands where they'll be able to use on top of discounts or sales?
Ah, that's a great question. So if there was a national brand or a regional brand and there was a coupon in the newspaper, a coupon that came in a mailer, do you accept those coupons or do all of your products so locally owned that those folks don't have coupons in the newspaper?
Well, that's all about the mix.
Okay.
And so there are items that we would have on our shelves that you would find regular coupons for.
Okay.
And we would take them.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
And then he also, his first question.
Can you guide us to the food pantry or?
Yeah, the first question had to do with items that may have passed the shelf date or getting close to the shelf date, donate to pantries. Alan?
Okay, yes, we do. In fact, today was the markdown day for some of the meats we have. Not that they're less quality, just that we tend to get things fresh. And we, if it's an opportunity for us to pass on the savings to some of our customers, we certainly want to do that. So, yes, we do in that regard. Also, as far as pantries, we have, and when we can, when the opportunities are available, we do donate to pantries. We'd much rather see that those items going to our local customers and local folks as opposed to throwing it away. That's always a good thing. So, yes.
All right, great questions, okay, Brad. You. Appreciate it. 239-1310. 239-1310 this afternoon's names with the folks with Pogues Run Grocery. There are people listening right now, whether they're, you know, community leaders, people in the church community, and others in the African American community, and there's a lot of discussion on what we ought to do with some of these food deserts that just sprouted up because of the AA closing. If you all were giving wisdom and advice to those folks, what would you say? You know, is this a model to seriously look at? And then what are the strengths? What are the weaknesses?
So, you know, if we want to talk about the co-op movement in general, mm-hmm. you know, and it has a long history of cooperative business models you being used to, you know, get goals accomplished for communities. Co-ops are always a, you know, viable way of running business. It just depends on whether you can get enough capital and startup to really get it going.
Okay.
And that is really, it's a very front-loaded idea. You need to have a lot of money in the beginning to get it accomplished. So, you know, it took us about, you know, $600,000.
Is it something where people who put up the dollars are going with the understanding they will never get a check back with those dollars, or with mm-hmm. those dollars and maybe two or three extra dollars as thank you very much for allowing us to use your dollars?
Yeah, well, we also do take member loans.
Okay.
So that's a way that you can invest in a different way as well, that it does have a different kind of rebate. But as far as when it comes down to membership, the startup membership always has a lot more risk than mm-hmm. when you're open.
Okay.
You know, becoming a member when after it's open and you see what it is, you know, you can then judge it, and people usually have a different type of buy-in when they see the store open. But at the beginning, before you actually have a store, there is a lot of questions that are up in the air on whether the project can actually get completed or not. It takes a lot of strength in your board of directors and your community volunteers to push it into existence.
Does the community need to understand that to open a grocery store, you're putting a lot of money up front and no guarantee that anybody's going to come in and buy anything?
Exactly. Yeah. So there has to be, you're also kind of betting on that the people who were willing to give you $150 are willing to shop.
Okay.
Even if it is, you know, say a dime more expensive or two dimes more expensive, mm-hmm. they're still going to be willing to shop. Okay. I mean, they have $150 invested in it.
And also with membership, it gives you an opportunity to see the type of products that you want to see. It gives you, you do have some input as to what type of products the store carries. So it genuinely does have the best interests of those who do decide to invest at heart. Also, again, it's not required that you be a member to shop there. We have several customers who aren't members but shop there regularly. So it really depends on what a person wants to do. But whoever steps foot in our store, we want the best experience for them, the best products, and we certainly like to support local and community. So once again, as a member, you do have a say-so as to what type of items you'd like to see in the store, what type of direction you'd like to see the store go in. We truly have the community's best interests at heart.
Yeah. Let me go back to the phones at 239-1310. My screen says Ms. Nikurg. Did I do that right?
Yes, you're fine, Amos.
What's up?
I have two questions. One is that, I didn't hear the whole, maybe you already answered the question. Do you gear your groceries to the meat and organic community? And my second question is, do you take food stamps?
Alright, first question is, do you gear, some of your products to organic?
Yeah, more predominantly local.
Local,
but, yeah. Especially if it's on the Dirty Dozen, if it's known to have high, we prefer to buy organic in the off season, but when it's local and it's in season, we prefer local first.
And do you take the ever popular plastic EBT food stamp card?
Of course we do, yeah.
All right. So that's.
Thank you.
Oh, yeah.
All right. So all of a sudden, folks be coming over there. Thank you. Let me go to Brother Motep, then we'll take a break at 239-1310. Hi there.
Hey, how you doing, Amos? Thanks for taking my call and guest. How you guys doing? I wouldn't have a problem paying a $150 membership. I've paid Costco and Sam's Club, and I think one year I may have used Costco one time, and that was $65, and I may have used Sam's Club four times, and that was $55. So I think sometimes people need to look at their priorities and realize what the priorities are. It sounds like a great idea, And that 600,000, I'm not going to call any names, but I've sat in some congregations and heard some very large numbers for some churches being built. So we can get it done. I like the framework, and I'm going to stop in there and check you guys out myself. Thank you.
I appreciate that. Is there conversations in the co-op grocery industry or community? So if there are co-ops in Bloomington or Chicago or Cincinnati or the East Coast or the West Coast, there's a conversation between you all, or is it a true co-op? Everybody's independent.
It is pretty independent.
Okay.
Autonomy is a big part of the co-op models.
Does anybody know whether there are any co-op grocery stores that where the board is predominantly African American and maybe the store tailors more to the food needs of African Americans?
Yeah, actually, in North Carolina, there is a great example, and I can't remember exactly what town it is, mm-hmm. but we do go to co-op conferences at times.
Okay.
And yeah, there have been. Very much, co-ops in have been around in lots of different forms, I think, in the African American communities in the past.
So this is something where group could get together. You got to raise a whole lot of money. How much did y'all have to raise before this thing really got off the ground?
It was about total raise. It all came in like instances,
right.
And general manager at that time.
But roughly to open the doors, there needed to be in the kitty, what are we talking, 300, 400, 500 G's?
Well, you're going to need at least 150 after you get a thing built out.
Okay.
You know what I mean? After you've done everything else.
And after you find a place, renovate it,
exactly.
Buy the shelving, get the first set of food in there, the insurance, the freezer, and all that kind of stuff. We're talking 100.5, 200,000 G's at least.
Oh, or more. I mean, really more. I mean, I would think it would take $750,000 to do a complete new store.
Well, that's interesting because I shared with the audience on the Save-A-Lot grocery. They actually have on their website, gee, what would it take if you wanted to be a Save-A-Lot store owner or franchisee? What would you have to put up? And they said on the low end, $600,000 before payroll. Mm-hmm. And I actually shared that with the audience and that's one of the reasons I wanted to invite you all, because I think some listeners said, oh, Amos is just making that up. He said,
no.
No.
I mean, depending on how big you do it, like,
right.
There's a lot of, square footage is a price, like the bigger you get, the build out, all of those things,
mm-hmm.
it just, renovating an old building is going to be cheaper than building a new building.
Right.
And so there's a lot of, buying older equipment and rehabbing it versus buying newer, then so there's a lot of cost
the trade-offs that you make.
Yeah. And that's kind of the cool part about a co-op is that it can be custom tailored to the neighborhood.
The fact that you have the deli and space where people can come in and chill out and eat and fellowship in the neighborhood, how important is that? You all could have just done a simple store and used that extra space to put up products. Obviously, that was a conscious decision to put that amenity there. Why?
Mainly industry. That's a very much been a focus in the grocery industry for the past 15 years of moving over to more hybrid food service slash staples store.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So I think that was just a very smart decision of understanding where the food market is.
Yeah, I would say atmosphere is very important. We've had people come in our store and who come there even on this first experience, and they say, wow, it's just nice in here. I feel so at home. And wow, where have you guys been? And then we hear several comments.
It was kind of, when I walked through there, it did have that kind of down home feel.
Oh yeah. And people appreciate it. I mean, they can come in and get away from the hustle and bustle and not have to be too worried about, how they know that they're in a place that, is relaxed. They can unwind and they can not really have to worry about the hustle and bustle. And they know they're getting their money's worth. So we really like to have that atmosphere. We're glad to have people of all different types come in, sit down, and enjoy themselves. And when they leave, they're really feeling like, wow, I'm going to come back. I really like this place.
This is a sensitive question, but I got to ask it. People steal out of Keystone of the Crossing. They steal out of stores in Beverly Hills. They steal out of stores on Fifth Avenue in New York. how do you handle shrinkage? Or is that a problem in a co-op?
Shrinkage is always a problem in any retail situation.
Okay.
I mean, let's not try to... Okay.
The reason I bring it up is people say, well, that's why all these stores aren't coming in here. It's because they shrinkage.
I don't think that that's true either.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. There's a lot of, you know, especially since we're so mobile,
right.
There's a reason why certain grocery stores started forcing customers to go to other grocery stores.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying? Especially if it's a Kroger versus a Kroger and you shut one down, they have to go. It's the old Walmart thing of opening up on two sides of a city.
Right.
So we deal with that by customer service. We say hi to everybody.
Mm-hmm.
We engage people. And that is the old school. Where, you know, you reduce your shrinkage by being more involved with the people who are in your space.
And might I add, we don't follow you around the grocery store watching you to see what you do mm-hmm. your every turn.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
No, and he just kind of went, you know, I just kind of walked in and was trying to be nondescript, and Alan kind of gave me this look. That was part of it. You wanted to make sure I was welcome.
Absolutely, absolutely. And I have to say, when I suspected that was you at first, and then when I saw you, I'm like, oh, wow, what do I say?
I needed. I got to get a better disguise. All right, so now Pogue's Run Grocery is located at 2828 East 10th Street. It's just a couple blocks east of Rural. On 10th Street.
It's not even a block. It's a
block.
It's not even a block.
Okay.
It's in the middle of the block.
It's in the middle of the block, right off of Rural. There's parking, because they don't want you to park on 10th Street anymore. One, because 10th Street is so narrow, but they don't want you to park on 10th Street. But free parking, and their hours are from 9 to 8, Monday through Saturday, 11 to 6 on Sunday. Yeah, they take plastic. They got a deli. And they got a website, which is Pogue's Run Grocer, P-O-G-U-E-S, rungrocer.org. And I'm sure if they're community organizations and CDCs and churches, they want to find out more about the nonprofit, how they put that together. I'm sure the folks at Pogue's Run would be glad to sit down with you all and talk about the successes and the not so things and things to watch out for. Nate Roberts and Alan Walker, thank you very, very much for accepting our invitation to learn more about Pogue's Run as an option to try to battle food deserts in this community. Because I can kind of see, you know, a black co-op grocery store, you know, with a specialization on chitlins and serious greens and pig feet and stuff. It would not be easy, but things that would cater and tailor, you know, and have them real beans. Nothing wrong with Hearst, because it's great company, and deal with all that. Guys, thanks very much for being with us.
Thank you very much.